My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I can't say it anymore. You know, the weak game, shut out, no hitter, leave me alone. He doesn't go 9, doesn't go 8. Yo, get that feels. Just did it, leave me alone.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Oh, that was Blake Snell after throwing the 18th no hitter in Giants franchise history. I'm sorry, man. I've always liked him. I just think he's kind of a cool personality. Like, he's a gamer. I think he's very candid. He does a lot of in-game interviews, at least he used to when he was with Tampa Bay and San Diego. He's just a cool cat, so I'm really happy. Number one, that he helped the Giants win last night and continued the stretch of 7 of 9, Sam. But he's a guy that's a very likable person, I hope that he's around next year, but I'm also just excited to see him pitch the last 2 months.
No, and you are starting to see that personality kind of come forward here. Because, yeah, earlier in the year, you know, we go and do those post-game pressers with him, and, you know, it was after a bad outing, so he was never really in a good mood. And, you know, I heard all this stuff about how great he is, how funny he is, how, you know, great of an interview that he is. And for the first couple months of the season, you just weren't seeing it. It was kind of depressing, really, because especially I always remember the 17-1 game against the Diamondbacks. He was a starter for that one, and it felt so dismal in there. And you had a lot of those outings. And it was that in-game interview he did last month. I forget who they were playing, but you really started to see that. Krutenkeit went with him for like 20 minutes. And I remember Giants got two quick outs. And then Kruko's like, oh, we might not have you for much longer. And Snell's like, whoa, we're a 2-out team. And then, of course, the Giants put together a little 2-out rally that I think netted him. I think it was like 4 straight walks, and they got like 1 run out of it. Classic Giants offense. But in that interview, you really started to see that personality of Blake Snell come out, and we're seeing it a lot more now. And it is, you saw that interview with him last night where he got bonked in the head with the lid. he was making a joke about it, and, Dave Fleming doing a really good job in that interview. And I think he's on the line right now.
Yes, he is joining us right now on 95.7 The Game on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Evan Gidding, Sam Lubman. Pleased to be joined now by Dave Fleming, who was on the call last night for Blake Snell's no-hitter in Cincinnati. Dave, so thank you so much for hopping on with us. How are you?
I'm good. Hi, guys.
Well, Dave, I feel like we got to start with where we just picked up. Blake Snell, you know, he was utterly dominant. A lot of firsts for him last night. You know, first time he goes into the ninth, first time he throws a complete game, first time he throws a no-hitter. You were on the call for it. You know, is it something that you can kind of sense early? Obviously, he's been supremely dominant coming off a 15-strikeout performance. But when did you kind of get the sense that he was perhaps on the verge of doing something that he had not been able to do before to this point in his career?
Well, I don't know if I thought he was going to pitch a no-hitter, but I think you could go back and watch that first inning, and I could make an argument that it's the greatest first inning I've ever seen pitched. Mm. I mean, he was unbelievable from pitch one. last night. And truly, I was almost speechless after the first inning was like, well, that's as good as I've ever seen anybody throw the ball. I mean, it was unhittable dominance. I think every pitch but one in the first inning was a strike, and he blew him away. So we certainly had an inkling that the stuff that he's had his last few starts was going to carry over into last night. Whether we had any clue that he was going to throw a no hitter, I guess, is a whole different thing. That would be hard to sense in the first inning, but. Gosh, that was one of my favorite parts about last night was how great it started and how dominant he looked from the very, literally the very first pitch he threw.
So, Dave, I mean, you know, you've called a lot of no-hitters in your time broadcasting games for the Giants. And, you know, you said, obviously, you don't come to the ballpark, you know, expecting a no-hitter. But as you're watching Blake Snell put in that work, as the innings start stacking up, you start seeing more and more zeros on the scoreboard there. At what point do you start to kind of get the sense like, oh, wow, he's not just pitching well. He's pitching well enough to where we might actually be able to have a no-hitter developing here.
Yeah, the pitch count was the thing that obviously, you know, now in this modern age, that's what we kind of worry about. And that when in the fifth inning, when he started to, he walked a couple guys, he talked to us after the game about that, about how mad he was at himself and he got mad at the umpire and Bailey intervened. And then there was that at bat, I think it was Santiago Espinal had a 9-pitch at bat to start an inning, and Snell got him out, but it was the kind of at bat that was like, oh man, that might cost him a chance to finish this game. And I think right after that, he got a couple very quick outs, and that's when my brain sort of started to think, oh, okay. Now that he got through that, I think he's got a chance to really do this. But I do want to repeat what I said a minute ago. Like, from pitch one, he threw a 96-mile-an-hour fastball exactly on the black the first pitch of the game. And for him, like, he's got such great stuff no matter what. It's always about his command. And that first pitch to me announced, I know it sounds crazy, but announced, like, okay, he's here to dominate tonight. So in the back of my head, I never felt nervous about him giving up a hit. There was never an at bat where I thought, oh, this guy's on him or he's seeing the ball really well. It was purely a matter of, you know, can he be efficient enough to finish the game?
Dave Fleming is joining us on 95.7 The Game via the River Islands guest line. It's funny you mentioned that because watching the game, you know, the first pitch certainly, but the first strikeout where he just puts 97 right on the hands of Jonathan India, who has no chance. There was definitely a tone setting first inning for him, of course, striking out the side. So I'm 100% with you. And as far as, you know, the remainder of the game, I know there wasn't necessarily maybe the standout defensive play. There was the line out double play. But there was a moment midway through that game where Snell had to kind of overcome perhaps some frustration with the strike zone, right? You know, and that actually was against Jonathan India again, where he puts a changeup on the black, not called a strike, breaking ball low and in, not called a strike. He actually gets quite, you know, visibly frustrated with the umpire, and then eventually strikes out Indy on maybe the pitch that wasn't actually the strike during that at bat. So, I mean, you've seen Blake Snell for the majority of this season. I felt like that illustrated how much of a bulldog he is, and I'm just very happy that Giants fans are now getting to witness consecutively, successively, just the competitor that he is, in addition to how good he is at throwing the baseball.
He's a very, more even than having watched him from afar, and I've seen a lot of his starts on the other side over the years, but he is more emotional and fiery on the mound than I think I realized. And that can be good. And it can also, I think he admits that sometimes it costs him a little bit. Sometimes he makes it a little harder on himself. So I have enjoyed learning that about him because I am a sucker for guys who kind of let their emotions play out in front of all of us. I think it makes the game more fun. And that was definitely the one moment where things were starting to get, and he had a right to be upset. A couple of those pitches in that inning where Bailey had to come out and calm him down, and he's barking at Malachi Moore. A couple of those pitches were not balls, and they were called balls. And so I get why he was upset about that. Ultimately, he and the umpire, that was a pretty good pairing for him. So in the moment, he wasn't happy, but ultimately that was a pretty good strike zone for him.
So Dave, a lot big thing that, you know, Bob Melvin's talked about, Farhan Zaidi's talked about this week is that, you know, playoff teams, they need to go on those runs where they win, you know, 14 of 18 to really kind of, you know, juice the record up, get them into that playoff positioning there. You're seeing the Giants start to heat up. I believe they've won 7 of their last 9. But, you know, when you look at what Logan Webb did on Wednesday night, what Blake Snell did last night, are those the kind of performances that can kind of help jumpstart this team to go on one of those extended runs that, you know, Farhan and Bomel have been kind of hoping that's coming along for a while now?
Yeah, that's probably how it's going to happen for this team because, you know, look, the Giants' offense in the first half actually was better statistically than probably everybody realized, especially considering offense around all of baseball is down. I think probably folks underestimated how good, not great, but good the Giants offense was in the first half of the year. And since the All-Star break, it has not been very good. And with Lamont Wade beat up and still looking a little compromised at the plate in his legs, and Michael Conforto just, you know, he's just struggling to get it going. And I feel for those guys. Mike Yastrzemski's been good, solid. But a lot of those veterans outside of Matt Chapman are really having a hard time right now. It's harder to see the path for like an explosive Giants offense. So I think the formula for this team is going to have to be lean on that pitching. And we'll see. The key is probably some of those guys you mentioned, the younger guys. I think Webb and Snell are going to do their part. I don't think there's much doubt about that. But if Harrison can keep on the trajectory that he's on, he's been, to me, very encouraging his last couple times. Hayden Birdsong's kind of a wild card. We're entering uncharted territory with him. He's throwing a lot of innings, way more than he has as a pro. We'll see how he holds up. Robbie Ray's coming off surgery. Those guys all can be dominators, but it's not a guarantee that they are. And probably the Giants' chances for a run that you're talking about come down to those three. If those three can pitch at a really high level, you got an opportunity to go 9-1 or 10-2 or whatever it's going to take to get them right there in the mix.
Television and radio voice of the San Francisco Giants, Dave Fleming is joining us on 95.7 The Game via the River Islands guest line. You know, taking a look at this stretch right now that they're on, Cincinnati, Washington, Detroit, Atlanta for 4, but then Oakland and Chicago. You know, how much urgency do you feel like is on this kind of 12-game or 14-game stretch before you get into the Seattles, the Milwaukees? I know you can't look too far ahead, but do you feel like this is the time, if the San Francisco Giants are to make a run, that these next few series against some teams that have not performed necessarily well as of late nor over the course of the season, is this the time for San Francisco to try and make a run?
Yeah, I mean, it is hard to schedule wins. You know, we all want to do it. We all want to look at the schedule. No, that's a win. This is a win. That's a tough series. This is an easier series. It really does not work that way. However, what I would say is, if you go through kind of the first weekend of September, there are definitely some tough opponents in there, definitely. But the month of September features what? 6 games against Arizona, 6 games against the Padres, and 3 games against the Cardinals. And you have to be in a position to make those games matter. Like if they're 5 or 6 games behind those teams come those series, you're almost certainly not going to make up that ground, even when you get head-to-head matchups. If you're 2 games out, then you got a chance to really make those games matter. And that's where I think the next 3 weeks, whether you think the schedule's easy or not, you just have to put yourself in a position to make those games matter. Otherwise, you're finally going to get the head-to-head matchups against the teams you're trying to chase down, and it won't make enough of a difference. So that's, you know, the A's are playing well. The Braves are a tough team. You've got the Mariners and the Brewers. That road trip is not going to be easy at all. But you got to win a lot of those games so that the Diamondbacks, Padres, Cardinals games are the ones that are the most important games of the year.
Well, Dave, I mean, if they're going to go on a run and make the playoffs, step one is going to be getting back to 500. They have a chance to do it tonight, but getting back to 500 has been a real challenge for this team, Dave. They are 2-10 when they enter a game with a chance to get back to 500. And one of those wins was game two of the year when they beat the Padres to improve their record to 1-1. I'm just curious, in your opinion, why has it been so difficult for this team to get over that hump and get, you know, to 500 and then above 500 after that?
Well, I think a lot of it has been the lack of consistency on the pitching side. The offense has been frustrating for sure at times, but I think the biggest story of the year up until now feels different because they have a different looking starting rotation. But up until now, whether it's because of injuries and having to bullpen so many games, or whatever the case, the Giants just haven't been able to get hot for a week to get to that 500 and a couple of games over, but to me, because of the inconsistency of the pitching. Now that they have that, you got a much better chance to not be so allergic to 500. Let's see if they can pull it off tonight. Not going to be easy. Hunter Green's been almost like Paul Skeens here these last few weeks. Like, he's been awesome for the Reds. So the Giants have their hands full tonight.
Dave Fleming joining us on the River Islands guest line here on 95.7 The Game. And I did want to ask you a little bit about the offense because at the deadline, you know, there's certainly a direction that indicated they're going to expect to lean more on their younger players. And with that comes some inconsistency. You see the highs of Tyler Fitzgerald. You know, someone like Elliot Ramos has maybe regressed a bit, but has still been performing over the course of this year fantastic. You know, how much confidence do you feel like has been instilled and given to these younger players? That has to feel empowering in one breath, that they believe that these younger players can help this offense at least stay at a level competitive enough to then, with the pitching staff, ideally get you to a place where you're, you know, making a postseason push. How much confidence do you have that these younger players in their first real, you know, chase to October can stand the test?
I have a lot of confidence. I think it's always a test for young guys. And it's not just the pressure of how important games are. It's also the grind of a long season. Like, even guys who are used to playing full minor league seasons, the big league season's a month longer. And that, you know, when you're digging deep day after day after day, that extra month of games can be really taxing on younger players. So I think that's one of the biggest challenges for that group of guys that you're talking about is, you know, how will they hold up mentally, physically over a longer season? If you've never done it before, and a lot of those guys have had a taste of a longer season before, but if you haven't done it before, it's a challenge. I know Bob Melvin told us the other day that he really feels like part of Tyler Fitzgerald's success has been when they let Nick Ahmed go. And, you know, Tyler, young guys have a tendency for many different reasons, but when you're trying to establish yourself as a major league player, not just a tweener or a guy who's getting a cup of coffee or whatever, you're trying to establish your career and set yourself up to have a long career here. Everything that comes with that, making a lot of money, all the perks of being a big leaguer, the adrenaline rush of playing in these big ballparks, all that stuff. There's just so much pressure you put on yourself to make it stick. Every opportunity, I got to prove that that's who I am. And that is a hard way to perform. And so I think Bob's point was when the Giants let Nick Ahmed go and basically told Tyler Fitzgerald, maybe without saying the words out loud, you're here, you're on this team, you're a part of this team, that he relaxed and didn't feel like every single at bat was a referendum on the future of him and his family. I mean, I think sometimes that's like how the pressure can feel for these guys. And you're seeing a really good result from it. So sometimes it is that opportunity that's uninhibited that can unlock an extra level of performance from a talented player.
You know, Dave, we brought you on to talk some baseball and talk about Blake Snell, but I know you're very well-rounded in the world of sports, doing, you know, football, you do golf. We got some Olympic action going up on the TV here in the studio. So I'm kind of curious. I know you're a busy guy calling all these games, but with the Olympics going on, have you been locking into them? Or are there events that you kind of like to watch more than others? How locked in is Dave Fleming on the Olympics right now?
Yeah, I like the daytime aspect of it. You know, we're working every night, so the primetime coverage is sort of lost on me, and it is almost every Olympics. It's one of the downsides of, you know, doing what we do is that when the other stuff is going on, we kind of miss it. But I love the fact that you can flip it on during the daytime. I'm into almost all of it. Like I love my college roommate was a potential Olympian. And, you know, when you go to Stanford, there's lots of Olympians around, and the idea that you dedicate yourself for years, basically to peak in one event for one chance at that is, you know, it's so different than basically anything else in sports. And the drama that comes from that, the heartache, the ecstasy, all that stuff is hard to match. So I do love the Olympics. I don't love, you know, sometimes we go so over the top to try to build stories about, sometimes I just want to watch the dang things and see the emotion on their faces. And when I get to do that, I'm really happy. I am a big fan of the Olympics, and I love track and field. So this is the week, now that that's started, this is the week that I really enjoy.
Yeah, I think the 100-meter semifinal and final is supposed to be today. So we'll see, for women's, that is. So we'll see Sha'Carri Richardson trying to get the gold there. So definitely try and lock in for that later today.
Yeah, fun. I mean, a great 100-meter race. There's not much like that in sports.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. Well, Dave, I know you're a busy man. Thank you so much for your time. And good luck on the call tonight. We look forward to hearing you.
Good luck to Kyle Harrison. Beat that, kid.
Thanks a lot, guys. That's Dave Fleming joining us here on Saturdays with Evan Giddings and Sam Lubman on 95.7 The Game via the River Islands guest line. A lot of good stuff from Dave, and I'm glad you snuck that in towards the end, because look, he is a man of, you know, he has an eclectic set of talents and an eclectic set of interests. Like I, for example, can't wait to see Sha'Carri Richardson. I also can't wait to see Noah Lyles, because there's just something, and we'll get back to the Giants in just a moment, but as an aside, there's something about watching the fastest person on the planet just burn for 100 meters, and it's something that goes back to your childhood, right, Sam? It's like, who's the fastest kid on the block? Mm-hmm. You're trying to race, whether it's to get dinner with your siblings, you're trying to race your friends in middle school,
you're trying to be king of the playground,
you're trying to be number one. It is something that everyone, no matter what age you are, I think can understand and appreciate.
Just run fast. There's something thrilling about
there's
that.
There's nothing else.
I remember this. For me, it goes back to, in elementary school, I remember in recess, we had this little, you know, concrete track or whatever that we would run down, and just all you know, the entire recess, that's what we'd be doing, is just running sprints to see who could be the fastest kid. And I don't remember where I ranked. I felt like I was definitely up there, but something about running fast. It's just something aesthetically pleasing about it. And there's just something so matter of fact about the 100 meter dash, like the fastest man, the fastest woman alive. Like, for me, I'll never forget that 08 gold medal race with Usain Bolt.
Oh my God.
Celebrating for the last 10 meters of it and still setting the world record. I just came across the 2012 100 meter race in the men's division the other day. And that was just such a stacked field. You had Bolt, you had Asafa Powell, you had Johan Blake representing Jamaica, Justin Gatlin and Tyson Gay for Team USA, and just five of the fastest, you know, men in the history of the planet. And of course, Usain Bolt, you're playing for second when you're racing against Usain Bolt. So I'm excited to see, you know, how Sha'Carri Richardson does it today. She was supposed to be there in 2021, but obviously wasn't able to go there. She got pinched for marijuana usage, which is unfortunate, but glad that that's not happening this time, because she looks like such a dynamic racer. So very excited to see what she does today.
That was so messed up, by the way. Like the reason, and she explained the reason why she was using weed was to
go with her mom. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mom passed.
Her mom passed away. She was depressed. So that was messed up. I'm glad that she's got an opportunity in front of the world to do it today. And Fleming also brought up the point that it's true. It's like you spend so many years training to peak for 10 seconds. You know, like you say, and someone like Usain Bolt, actually, I always found fascinating, because the 100-meter dash wasn't even his best event.
No, he was a big 200-meter guy, wasn't he?
200, 400, yeah. I think he even ran the 800. You know, so, like Usain, and he also ran relays. I mean, the Jamaican team was just stupid. But
to have someone like that that can just do all these events, and it's kind of similar across sports. Like, spoiler alert.
Uh-oh.
Simone Biles. I'll leave it there for a moment. Anybody who's listening that wants to watch later on today,
to a breaking news sounder,
can tune out. But no, like, I mean, she won again on the beam. So, mm-hmm. like, Simone Biles is dominating different events in the world of gymnastics. That's what she does.
She did the vault this morning.
Exactly. So
another spoiler alert.
Well, yeah, but the vault is golden. Yeah. It's for her. She's the most decorated gymnast ever. Ledecky. Cleaning up as far as medals are concerned.
Another Stanford athlete.
Yeah, shout out to Flem. She won the 1500 a couple days ago by 10 seconds.
I did. I love
just
that.
Lapping the field.
I love that little nugget by Dave. Yeah, when you go to Stanford, there's Olympians all over the place.
Well, of course.
That was the most water drop of water drops right there.
Oh, but he was also the voice of a lot of those teams, so he probably got to know a lot of them. Big thank you to Dave Fleming. By the way, of course, all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. He also mentioned something about these young players I want to dig into. The idea of expectations, the idea of making a playoff push. A lot of these guys have not been there before. How much do you trust that the young players that have been empowered to the point of Tyler Fitzgerald, Marco Luciano now stepping in for Jorge Soler, how much confidence do you have that they can get it done? I have reasons for and against on the other side as we continue here on Saturdays on 95.7 The Game with Evan Giddings and Sam Lubman. We're back after this.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
The three, double single, is knocked in one of the two Giants. Runs, and now he drives one. Deep left field. Gone! 3-0 Giants.
Lie. Whoa. What a skidding halt that was. No, so like that was an absolute tank. And of course, that was Dave Fleming on the call. He joined us a little bit earlier on the River Islands guest line. But Sam, look, at Giants are playing some good baseball. They're beating teams that they're supposed to beat. And I know Flem also mentioned the fact that you can't necessarily play the schedule game and just pencil in wins. The Giants are at the point where they don't really have a choice. You know, they do have their backs up against the wall. And if they are to make the postseason push that I think could be the reason why Farhan Zaidi is or is not around next season, it's going to start with performances like last night with Blake Snell. Not even the no hitting part, but just the tone setting part. Again, the first inning, striking out the side, looking unhittable, being overpowering. That has to be something that is more often than not. And it's going to come down to the pitching staff, I think. But also this idea of younger players. That was the other thing that Dave kind of talked about. This idea of younger players being the ones that have to carry the offense. I mean, when I throw that to you, Sam, because I asked Dave about this, but I think we can get into it. You know, how much confidence do you have in these younger players that have not played meaningful September baseball and have not played, you know, really much more than a full one or two minor league seasons?
I have some confidence. You know, it's gonna be probably day to day. I mean, I do like how a lot of these guys play. I'm very high on Tyler Fitzgerald and just kind of what he can bring to the table, especially just that speed element that he brings there. Elliot Ramos, I mean, he's the dude in this lineup right now, for better or for worse. Is he a guy who can carry a lineup? I'm not sure about that, but this is how we're gonna find out. The guy who I think is gonna have amongst the young guys the biggest eye on him the rest of the way, though, it's going to be Marco Luciano. A big reason why the Giants moved off of Jorge Soler, they said, was they wanted to give at-bats to Luciano. And I give the Giants credit. They let Luciano hit, you know, all nine innings last night. You know, on Tuesday night, you know, they ruffled the feathers of a lot of Giants fans when they pinch hit Lamont Wade Jr. in for Marco Luciano in that ninth inning, which is like, you know, are you trying to trust these guys or are you not? When you, like, I get the matchups. We had Dave Fleming on the next day and he kind of broke it down. You know, you want, careful with that mic stand there.
Easy.
You want, yeah. Hey, he didn't pull a Steiny at least.
No, simmer down.
And rip it out. Or who was, I think Spadoni, he one time ripped one of the arms out.
Steiny's done it too.
Yeah, Steiny's done it. It's a rite of passage. Yeah, usually Willard weakens it and then one of us, breaks it. But, you know, Fleming, he kind of broke it down on Wednesday when we had him on the morning roast, you know, why you would put Lamont Wade there. And like, I get the logic there. He's one of your better on base guys. You want that righty lefty matchup, blah, blah, blah. But the future of this organization is not going to be built on the back of Lamont Wade Jr. He's a fine player and all, but if you told me Lamont Wade Jr. isn't back on the Giants next year, like, I don't think I'm losing that much sleep over it. Marco Luciano, though, he is supposed to be part of this future. And so how much do we believe in Marco Luciano? Let's start with how much the Giants believe in Marco Luciano. They opened up a spot for him to get at-bats. Let's let him get these at-bats. Let's let him get this work in. Let's let him take these lumps, because that's the only way you're going to get better, is by getting out there and getting those consistent at-bats, learning from your mistakes. And so it's going to start there. So can the Giants really kind of commit to, you know, I know they want to make this push for the playoffs. I know they want to make that push to play those, you know, meaningful September baseball games that Larry Bear loves so much. But this is part of the future. Like, the worst thing I think that can happen this year, Evan, is the Giants make the playoffs on the backs of some of their veteran guys. But then you see guys like Chapman, Snell, Ray, you know, opt out after this year. And I'm not saying that's a guarantee to happen right now. But if that happens, then you're coming back next year with a bunch of young guys that you still don't know what you have there. That's not a good situation for the Giants to be in. So, you know, how much faith we're going to see. Keep them in the lineup. Let them take their lumps. If it results in frustrating losses, well, I think then so be it. That's the situation you're in right now.
See, I'm not sure how much faith I have in the younger players. I think they're good. You know, Ramos has obviously been a revelation this season. Mm-hmm. Fitzgerald is hitting the crap out of the baseball. Even someone like Schmidt, you know, could run into one like he did last night. I think Luciano is a player I would love to see more of. And in a small sample size, he's given me no reason to believe that he can't be a serviceable big league hitter. But at the same time, the season itself is in the position it is, I think, because of the veterans. I need the veterans to play better. And if the veterans do, I do think there is a legitimate chance that they could shock people and get into October baseball. But it has to be because of the vets. I do feel like at some point we're going to see these younger players not necessarily physically break down, but there's a psychological toll that's taken over the course of time. And when you get into deep into August, September, you know, a lot of the good teams, Sam, I don't know what you think about this, but a lot of times the dog days, which are kind of upon us, right? They tend to impact the best teams as opposed to the worst teams. I think generally when, like, you're seeing the Phillies drop a lot of series, the Dodgers, who are banged up,
are struggling right now.
This is the time of year where those teams struggle before they get themselves right heading into September and get themselves prepared to play in October because they all expect to be there. This is the time where now, not that the Giants are bottom feeders, but they're about 500. This is a chance for them to gain some ground on those teams or even just some of the wild card teams ahead of them because these aren't the Giants dog days. I don't think that this is the time where the Giants are going to, I don't know, just hit a wall. But I'm afraid that that wall will eventually come around the time where those playoff teams ahead of them have already gone through their struggles now in August. So it's kind of converse where the Giants are playing and look good, I think, right now. But what I'm afraid about with the young players is that when, you know, the Milwaukees, the San Diegos, the Arizonas, who they got coming up on the schedule in a couple of weeks, when those teams begin to get locked in, and some of them are playing good baseball now, but when they begin to get locked in and focused on their goal because they have vets that have been there and done that before, that's when I'm afraid that the younger players will falter. And so I do need to see more from Chapman. I'll throw Bailey in there because he's played a full season now, but I need more from even Conforto. I need more from the Yazes, the players that have been in these positions before and have played full seasons. I need those guys to carry more of a load than just expecting the young guys to prop them up.
No, I'd agree with that too. They are going to be a big part of it. And Chapman, he's been doing his part for the most part this year. The guy who I think it's the most pressure.
Lamont Wade too.
Lamont Wade too, yeah. I think the guy of that group that you just mentioned that has the most pressure to kind of step up amongst the veterans, it's Michael Conforto. He got off to a solid start in April and you're thinking, all right, maybe he's kind of figured it out. He's been battling injuries the last few years, but he's healthy this year. But then that wasn't the case. He's missed some time. He's been inconsistent and the Giants keep trotting him out there. They're trying to make this happen with him and I'm just not seeing it right now lately. It'll come in flashes. It'll come in bursts. But for the year and a half that he's been there, that he's been here with this team, that's all it's been. It's a burst here, a flash there. It's nothing consistent. If the Giants are going to, you know, take advantage of these dog days when the other teams are struggling, yeah, he's going to be a big part of it. Lamont Wade Jr. getting healthy, he's going to be a big part of it. You didn't mention Wilmer Flores there, which, you know, right now with Wilmer Flores, it sounds like he's probably not going to be back for a long time. Flem mentioned it on Wednesday. We had him on that part of the Canha trade was acknowledging the reality that Wilmer Flores probably won't be back this year.
Yeah, I just assumed he's not going to be a big part of this.
Which is unfortunate. And honestly, he wasn't really much of a factor this year. And I've been kind of harsh on Wilmer Flores' time here. He's been an okay Giant during his time here. I mean, he was one of their better players last year, but that team wasn't very good last year. So, I mean, what's the bar here? But what
team hasn't been good for the last 6 years?
Well, yeah, so it's like when you're saying, you know, he's the best player on a bad Giants team. What's that? You know, like Gorky Hernandez was a great player on that 2017 Giants team. No one remembers Gorky Hernandez fondly. Most people don't remember who he is.
Ken doesn't know who Gorky Hernandez
exactly,
is.
You know, but yeah, he was a guy who was just like once upon a time. Oh, here comes a thump. It's Gorky Hernandez.
Great name.
It is a great. It's a fun name to say, Gorky Hernandez. That's why I like to bring him up for a lot. Just to say the name. But I think one thing that will, you talk about the pressure on the young guys though. And one thing now that I think we're going to see though is could the pitching kind of take some of that pressure off? When you don't need to, you know, put 5, 6, 7 runs on the board because you have a pitching rotation that can hold your opponent to 2 or 3 runs, that kind of takes the pressure off. And I think one thing that's kind of help kind of, you know, augment what the hitters are doing is the fact that outside of Logan Webb, Evan, most of the Giants pitchers in this rotation haven't, I mean, Hayden Birdsong also, but most of these other pitchers haven't put a whole lot of innings on their arms yet this year. Robbie Ray's just coming back. Blake Snell's missed a lot of time, but he's looking locked in and he hasn't put a whole lot of innings on his arm. Kyle Harrison will be interesting to see kind of how his innings develop this year. But you got a group of starting pitchers that for the most part is
as fresh as you could want them here going into this stretch drive here in August, September, where, you know, a lot of these other, you know, teams, you know, these big boy teams, you know, the Phillies or, you know, the Guardians, the Dodgers. I mean, maybe not the Guardians because it's in a different league, but, you know, they're putting a lot more wear and tear on their pitching rotation. So the dog days, it can affect the hitters, but it can have a massive effect on the pitchers too, especially with a lot of these teams playing in this hot weather they're going to be dealing with here in August.
No, but that's also why a team like Cleveland will go out and trade for an Alex Cobb.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like they're going out and getting a frontline starter for October, although he, you know, he might be a game three pitcher potentially if he looks
good.
Game three, game four. He can help you out. But it's to basically take off some of the wear and tear of that rotation to give them some help. You know, the biggest frontline starter that was dealt is pitching tonight at the Coliseum, and that's Jack Flaherty to the Los Angeles Dodgers. That's a guy that the Dodgers are, I guess, in a kind of a different situation because their pitching staff has just been just bedridden by injuries.
I mean, they have a very similar pitching staff as the Giants.
Yeah.
In terms of just availability.
And we don't even know if the guys that are coming back and getting healthy are productive anymore. Clayton Kershaw had his first start in his career the other night where he didn't strike out a batter and just got shelled by the Padres. So
that's how you're not pitching against the Giants.
The only dude that they really can, I think, hope and depend on coming back and being productive would be Yamamoto. You know, Glasnow's serviceable. Flaherty gives you some pizzazz. You know, but the other big name starter would be someone like Yusei Kikuchi, who had a fantastic first start with the Houston Astros, but if he's starting game one or two, which I don't think he would for the Astros, but that's not a great sign. So the pitchers that were moved at the deadline, to me, there was no big name talent in the starting market that is going to impact October outside of helping you get there and maybe having a game or two, you know, a performance basically that's unexpected.
Well, it gives you a little bit more depth, you know, like a guy like Eric Fetty, who went to the Cardinals there. Like,
he's had a really good year.
Yeah, he's pitching very well for the White Sox this year, which is, you know, if he had some run support, I'm sure his record would look a lot better. But anytime you're doing anything good on the White Sox, that's pretty impressive.
His ERA is good.
Yeah, I think he's like a 3.3 ERA, somewhere in that area. But that's the kind of start, you know, when we had Dave on Wednesday, I'm not mentioning that interview a lot. You know, he kind of said, you know, when these teams are game three starters, that's something to kind of keep an eye on. Because when you got a team like the Orioles that, you know, if they're trotting out, you know, Johnny No Name in game three because they didn't want to pony up and add some bigger pitching depth at the deadline, you know, it's going to come back to bite them in the butt at that point. So, but a guy like an Eric Fetty, a Jack Flaherty, that's great for, you know, extending the depth of your pitching rotation for when you do get to the playoffs. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens there. But bringing it back to the Giants, though, who have the pitching depth already, it is just more on the offense and what it brings. I think this is going to be a big test also for, you know, for Elliot Ramos as well, because as we've mentioned, teams are starting to adjust to him a little bit. They're starting to hit him with that high stuff there, which he does struggle with. You know, it's, this is where we're going to really find out who Elliot Ramos is in these next 2 months. You know, You came up, you lit the league on fire, the league adjusted to you. Now it's your turn to adjust to the adjustment. If he can pull that off, well, now you're feeling a lot better about this team's chances and about Elliot Ramos' future with this team.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, look, Ramos, you know, in the last week hasn't performed very well. But, you know, if I told you over the course of July, he, you know, 280 with an 800 OPS, 5 home runs, 16 driven in, that
I'll
is something that you will take. The issue is that I think the Giants are a bit dependent, or have been until Fitzgerald started hitting like Roger Hornsby, that the offense is going to go as Ramos goes. And that to me is a little bit too much to expect of a 24-year-old, number one, but a guy that doesn't to me profile as a future middle of the order bat. It's not like the Giants are throwing Ramos into the heart of the order because they expected to be Julio Rodriguez, you know, or some other young stud. It's because they don't have a choice. And that's where I think he's been exposed a little bit as of late. But at the same time, you know, that's also where I don't know if we'll find out who Ramos is, but I think we'll find out more about his character and how he's able to fight through at bats, because I think he, no matter what, he's going to be in disadvantageous positions. Pitchers are going to give him their best stuff. He's going to be pitched around. Mm-hmm. He's going to be on the scouting report. He's the guy that opposing pitchers are trying to get out more than anybody else in that lineup because of his sustained success so far this season. So how is he able to battle through that? If he's hitting
260 the rest of the way. I know that's not as sexy as the 300 average and the 1,000 OPS he had in June, which got him to the All-Star game. But that, to me, is an example of growth. And that's an example of a young player that is not going to falter in the biggest moments. And it's not going to, I should say, wear down. Because that's my biggest concern about the younger players. It's that they're going to wear down in September because they've never played this deep into a season before, and they've never played more important baseball in their lives.
Yeah, and that's why I think a part of it, and they will, first off, I mean, 260 these days, that's pretty good in these days of Major League Baseball. But
if you're hitting the ball to the yard.
Yeah, but I think these days, like, this is where I think it kind of becomes a win-win situation for Elliot Ramos, because when it comes to growth, it's not so much about succeeding. It is more about just, are you getting better? If you succeed, that's great. But if you fail, how do you get better from that? And what I think these next couple months, even if the Giants do fall short here, let's say they do run out of gas in September, or the moment gets too big for them. Well, okay, now you know how that feels. So that means next year, when, you know, the stakes are maybe a little bit higher, when the expectations to make the playoffs are a little bit greater, you have that experience of what it's like to, you know, handle that postseason run. I'll make a comp, you know, to the Warriors. You know, you go back to 2013 when they had that series against the Spurs. And you always talk about, you know, in the NBA playoffs, it's very hard to learn how to close out games. And they had that game one against the Spurs where they completely fell apart in the fourth quarter and gave it up in overtime. That was a learning experience for the Warriors. They learned how important it is to be able to close out playoff games. It's going to be a somewhat of a similar situation here for this young Giants team here. They're going to have to learn how you close out basically a regular season. And if they fail, well, all right. How do you, you know, it's like Master Yoda said in episode 8, you know, the greatest teacher failure is. So we'll see how it comes together there for the Giants and for these young guys. So if they take it and they run with it, awesome. If they don't let it be for nothing.
It's Farhan Yoda then?
Well, let's not go that far. might be more of like a Ki Adi Mundi or something.
Yeah, he wishes. I think that's a fair point, though. You know, but again, that's why I feel like, and I've always felt that the season was going to be dictated by, you know, the veteran players, or driven home by the veteran players. And it feels like they've been propped up for much of this season by some of the younger guys on the team. That's where, like, this is your time, you know. The pitching staff is starting to round into form, whereas, you know, the injuries, some of the subpar production, that appears to be behind them. I'm talking specifically about, you know, Snell, Ray, who's back, and then even Webb, who I guess had, you know, kind of a down July.
A bit of a hiccup.
Yeah, a little bit of a hiccup in July. You know, those three dudes, they got to help now. Kyle Harrison and Hayden Birdsong, you know, because you did trade away. I know we talk about the depth, and yes, they have a talented starting five. I don't know about the best in baseball, but at least the last two games are pitching like it. They've been the best in baseball, but you traded away any sort of starting pitching depth beyond that because Alex Cobb is no longer here. And maybe they didn't feel like they wanted to wait to, you know, see and rev him up, and he's going four innings, and you didn't want multiple guys on the injury back track because the other one is Robbie Ray. You need guys that are going to give you innings now. Kyle Harrison, you hope, can give you innings tonight in Cincinnati, Birdsong tomorrow, and so on and so forth. So, but I do think that Webb and Snell are well equipped to help prop up and take the baton from the younger players, which have carried the starting rotation for much of this season. I need to see the position players do it. I need to see those guys deliver more runs, because although I do feel confident in the pitching, and it does appear like they're beginning to turn a little bit of a corner, we'll see if they can get to 500 tonight. But at the same time, this is a lineup that right now, to me, has, as we've described, a lot of gravy players. If they give you something offensively, that's a plus. But it's not an offense that I feel confident in, Sam. If an opposing team gets to the starting pitcher, if they score four or five runs, I don't feel confident that this offense is going to be able to overcome that more often than not. If an opposing team scores five runs, I almost feel like the game is lost.
Oh, that is ball game, yeah. What I think these last 2 months are going to feel like is, for the Giants, it's going to feel a lot like
what those last couple months of the 2011 season was like. Giants fans, you know damn well how frustrating that run was when, you know, you had no offense, you had a great pitching rotation, but it felt like, you know, anytime a team goes up 2-0 on you, like, well, that's ball game. The only difference between that season and this season is, you know, in 2011, you had, you know, the nice warm fuzzy memories of that, you know, postseason run to kind of keep you company during those cold 1-0 games. You don't have that this year, but yeah, it's going to be a lot of that. You know, there's going to be a lot of the times when, you know, if the starting pitcher gives it up, you know, 1-2 runs in that first inning, it's going to be like, oh man, this is a massive mountain we have to climb up here. We got to get a run and then a whole run on top of that. And then a third run? You want 3 runs from us tonight? That you are asking, wait, it's going to be a lot of that the next 2 months. That's good. If they could get 7 runs in a game, that would be incredible. But you were talking about, you know, position players who we're going to have an eye on here. As we also partly have an eye on the 100-meter dash trials here at the Olympics going on. It's Patrick Bailey. And the second half of last year, you talk about fading away. He faded away in the second half of last year. And I remember chatting with him about that last year. And he said basically, you know, the grind of the baseball season kind of got to him a little bit. It's harder to find, you know, time to get your conditioning in, time to find your workouts in. It's hard to get that done during the season when you're also, you know, trying to prep for games. When you're a catcher, you know, you got to basically memorize, you know, where are the weak spots in the strike zone for every hitter that you're going to be facing in a given game. So I think that kind of wore down on him last year. So for Bailey, it's going to be very incumbent on him these next 2 months to avoid that kind of second half letdown that he had last year. Just last year, you know, in July of last year, he had 165. He picked up in August a little bit. He hit 2 home runs, hit 257 in August. But then in September, he hit a wall and a half. 121 average, 164 on base, 22 strikeouts that month, only 3 walks. And he just, you could tell he was gassed at the end of the year last year. So it's going to be a lot of eyes on Patrick Bailey here the last couple of months as he guides this rotation and, you know, tries to keep himself fresh enough to stay in the lineup every day.
But that's why he also had that amazing June. You know, he's basically like the Ramos of last year. You know, he was the young player that kind of emerged and popped that everyone was excited about. And then
the Buster Posey comps,
you kind of hit a wall. Yeah, that's what naturally happens.
So 188 in the second half last year.
That's what I'm afraid, not to that extent, but to some extent, you know, a Ramos or even a Fitzgerald to some extent. I know he hasn't played a ton of major league games, but he's played a lot of minor league games this season, and that together all builds, you know. So the guys that have been there, and that's why I've been happy about the durability of Matt Chapman, though his offense has not been, I guess, what you'd necessarily envision when you signed him. I think he's been good, not great, but the durability has been a plus from him. You know, Conforto's got to stop swinging a broomstick. You know, like there are players that have been in these situations that have played full seasons before that have to be able to help you when I think inevitably someone like Ramos, for example, or even Fitzgerald stops hitting the way that they've been hitting. And we've seen the way that Ramos has come down a little bit. I think Fitzgerald is a player that will naturally regress to the mean. So other players have to step up. And that's where I'm worried about the offense far more than the pitching staff, because it also means that the pitching staff is going to have to do a little bit more. And those guys like Kyle Harrison, Hayden Birdsong are also younger players that have not pitched this deep into seasons before and have not accumulated the amount of innings that they have before to this point in their careers. I think Kyle Harrison has looked really good and he's been steady. He's been relatively durable this season. But how does he look into August and September starting tonight in Cincinnati? How does Hayden Birdsong, once he approaches his innings limit, is that a guy that the Giants choose to shut down? Do they try to just string him out a little bit more? Do they piggyback? Do they use him kind of just as a, you know, a 2-6 innings guy, and do they help him try and prop him up with an opener? There are a lot of different strategies that they can use to help the younger guys, but again, it's going to be on their veterans to determine the rest of the season, in my opinion. All right, on the other side, I do want to transition, Sam, to the gridiron, because we got a little bit of news about a wide receiver not named Brandon Ayuk, but it could impact Brandon Ayuk, who has been out at training camp. He's still holding in, but he was at practice. All the social media videos are making the rounds.
The handshake heard around the world.
What is the interpretation? We'll have that for you on the other side. Kyle Shanahan also spoke about it yesterday. I look forward to getting into that. Evan Giddings and Sam Lumman back after this on Saturdays on 95.7 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.